This all leads really nicely into what I want to talk to us this morning. I want to read two scriptures to us. And we're going to start in 1 John chapter 4 and verse 7. And we're going to read some of that together this morning. 1 John, if you're not quite sure of the Bible, if you go nearly to the end, in fact, you're best off going from the back backwards than going from the front forwards. You'll find it quicker. So 1 John, it's different than the Gospel of John. Okay, we're going to go from 1 John chapter 4, and I'm going to start at verse 7, and it says this: Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sin. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. This is how we know that we live in him and that he is in us. He has given us of his Spirit, and we have seen and testify that the Father has sent his Son to be the Savior of the world. If anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, God lives in them and they in God. And so we know and rely on the love that God has for us. God is love. Whoever lives in love lives in God and God in them. This is how love is made complete among us, so that we will have confidence on the day of judgment. In this world, we are like Jesus. And then the other bit that I want to read to us to start this morning is from John. So the Gospel of John, chapter 13. And we're just going to go for verse 34 and 35. And it says this: A new command I give you. Love one another as I have loved you, so you must love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. I was flicking through Facebook the other day and came across this story. Obviously, it's true because it came from Facebook, and we know everything put on there is true. Okay, but I did kind of check it out, and I'm pretty sure that it is a true story. And it's of a girl who worked in a meat factory. And every day she would go to work, and she would just, you know, do her job and come home from work at the end of it. And one evening before she went to leave to go home, she decided to make life a bit easier for those that were on the next shift and take all the meat that she had prepared or done whatever she did to it and stick it in the freezer. And so off she went, and she had the meat, and she opened the freezer door. She went in, and I don't know what quite happened to the door of the freezer, but it shut. So this girl is stuck in the freezer. Most people are going home, okay, and it's going to be a while before anyone comes back. And so she knows that there is no way out. She tries banging on the door. She tries shouting. She tries doing all of that. And she knows that she cannot get out. And a few hours passed, and you know, she's getting weaker and weaker in herself. And she sits down on the freezer floor knowing that this could be the end for her. And then a while later, she kind of wakes up and she's in hospital. And about 5 hours into her being stuck in this freezer, the doors had opened and paramedics had come in and people had come in. They got her to the hospital. They began to revive her. And she kind of sat up at the when she'd been revived and she was doing okay. And she said, "How did you get me out? How did you know that I was there?" And they told her of a guy who had gone, and he was checking everywhere, and he checked the freezer, and he saw that she was there. And when she went back to work, she found this guy who was a security guard. And she said, "How did you find me? Because where I was is not where you walk past. How did you know? How did you find me? That should not have happened." And he said, "Well," he said, "every day I come and I work at this place, and every day no one speaks to me. And every day, no one even acknowledges that I'm here, apart from one person, and that is you. And every day when you walk in, you say good morning to me, and you ask me, you know, how I am, and you say, I hope you have a good day. And every evening before you leave, you come and say goodbye to me, and you say, I'll see you tomorrow." He said, "And that night, you didn't say goodbye, so I knew something was wrong. I knew that there had to be, so I decided that I would sweep the whole factory to make sure you were okay. And when I came and I looked through and I could see you on the floor, I opened the freezer, I got the paramedics, and, you know, the rest is history. I want to say to you this morning, the way that that girl showed love saved her life. The way that, she didn't just walk past and ignore and walk past and think you're just the security guard or walk past and do what everybody else did. She did something that was really different. And because she did that, it saved her life. And what I want to talk to us this morning is the theme that John spoke about 2 weeks ago. And I had no idea he was speaking on that. And I had this ready to bring last week. And I had to go and be part of another church last week. Thank you so much for releasing me to do that. And so Liz, I know, spoke on love. And I want to round it off this week by talking to us about this scripture, especially in John 13, that says, "A new command I give you, that you love each other as I have loved you, so you must love one another." I want to say to you that the way that you love not only affects the people that you love, but it affects you as well. Yeah. If that girl had just walked past the security guard like everyone else did, she wouldn't be here today. And I want to really bring it home to us today that the way that we love and treat others should make others miss us when we're not around. The way that we love and treat others should make others go, "Where is that person?" Because they're just always bubbly. They're always smiley. Or it might even be that. It just might be that they always say hello. Or they always text me and make sure I'm okay. And the way that we treat other people, there should be a gap if we're not there. I read something, and it was on one of the church leaders' websites the other day. And I read this quote, and it simply said this: "If your church didn't exist, would your town or city miss you?" Oh. And immediately you want to go, "Yes, they would." I want to talk to us this morning about how we love and about how God works through how we love. Do you know what? Love is the greatest thing. It's the most powerful thing. And sometimes it is the hardest thing. But it's the thing that God always calls us to. Why? Because God is love. And 1 John 4 clearly tells us that actually if we don't love, this is very sobering to me, that if I don't love, I don't know God. That's what the Bible says. If I don't love, there's no point me shouting about God. If I don't love, if I don't love people, if I don't treat people right, if I don't champion people, actually, do I even know God? I want to just be really honest with you this morning. Is that okay? And just be, these are some of the things that God has just been impressing on my heart over the last probably couple of months. And what I want to do, first of all, just by way of introduction, is just look at the context in which this is written in John 13. That a new command I give you, that you what? That you what? That you love one another. I want to tell you the context in which it was written. And if you look at the whole of John 13, these are the things that happen in John 13. Firstly, Jesus washes the disciples' feet. It's a great act of love. It's a great act of humility when he gets down and he goes along each one of his disciples and he washes their feet. If you think about Bible times and, you know, the things that they, the sandals that they wore on their feet, and the roads were really dusty. This was not a nice job. This was not like, they weren't going for a pedi. They weren't going for a mani-pedi, right? That's not what was happening here. They weren't going for a pedicure where you sit and you clean your feet in the nice bubbly water, first of all, before anyone even touches you, okay? These are guys, and we all know what guys' feet are like. Sorry, blokes. But these are guys, and he's down, and he's right down, knelt on the floor with a towel around his waist and with a bowl, and he is washing their feet. And then after that, what happens is Jesus begins to predict the betrayal of one of the 12 whose feet he has just washed. He begins telling them about what is going to happen when he dies. And then he begins to talk about the fact that Peter's going to deny him. He's washed their feet and he's beginning to tell them these. And in the middle of talking about Peter's denial, he says this: "Guys, a new commandment I'm going to give you. Love each other. As I have loved you," and they were going to see that in action in the next season, as you're going to see how I have loved you, so you must love each other. That's the kind of love, that's the kind of sacrificial love that you should have for one another. So he is with the 12 disciples. He is with those that he has poured into over the past few years, and he is telling them about his death and how they will let him down. And then into the conversation comes verse 34. I wanted to give us some context of what was going on here. Okay, Jesus loved Peter, and Peter denied him, but Jesus still loved him. Jesus loved Judas, and Judas denied him, but Jesus still loved him. Jesus loved the 12, and they all left him, and they all scattered, but Jesus still loved them. When you read this verse in context, the power that comes out of it is incredible. You see, because Jesus loved from what was within him, he didn't love from the circumstances around him. Okay, love doesn't come just when people are being nice. Love is something that should be within us as Christians. It should be something that permeates out of us as Christians. It's not something that they've done something nice, so I'll do something nice back. Love doesn't come from circumstance. It comes from within. Jesus knew everything that was going to happen. He knew the circumstances, and yet he loved anyway. And what I want to do is I want to bring 4 points out of this, and we are going to pray together as a church at the end. I want to bring 4 points out of this. Just from these two verses, verse 34 and verse 35, just 4 things that I think God wants to talk to us about this morning. And the first one is this, that Jesus was speaking to the disciples here, not to the crowd. And he was speaking about the disciples, not about the crowd. Jesus was saying, guys, you need to love each other. He was speaking to those who had been with him for 3 years. He was speaking to those who knew him. He was speaking to those who had seen the miracles, who had been part of the ministry. And he says, listen, guys, you need to love each other. He wasn't talking about loving people outside of the walls, although that is so important. He was talking about the people in the room. You need to love one another. And just as I've been studying this, you know, this verse was spoken to those who already knew him, who did life with him, not to the world who were yet to meet him. And this is what I felt, God, just this is the kind of line that came into my mind, is that this verse is to the church and about the church. You know what? We need to love those in the room right now. Those who are sat either side of you this morning, those who are in front of you and behind you, those who are diagonally across the other side of the room, there needs to be a love that we have one another. A new commandment I give you, love each other. As I have loved you, so you need to love one another. This wasn't to the world that Jesus was speaking, it was to his followers. And I want to bring this morning just the kind of real thing of, do you know what, church? We've got to love each other. We do life together all the time, right? We're in connect groups and we're in church together and we rub shoulders all the time. And actually, we've got to love each other. Yeah. The command isn't changing. God still comes and says, will you love the person sat next to you? The person sat 3 rows behind you. Look around. You can look around. Look around the room. Okay, this is what we're talking about this morning. God says, love one another. And this is what I felt. This was just a sentence that came into my mind as I was typing this up, that this is not about loving those outside the church. It's about being an example of how to love to those outside the church. People should find out how to love when they walk through the doors. They should find out what love is about when they walk into the life of our church. And I'm not talking about the gushy kind of love that is, you know, sentimental. I'm talking about real hardcore. We are with one another through thick and thin, in sickness and in health, in the good and the bad. We are together. We're going to love each other. Even when we disagree, we're going to love. Do you know you can love someone that you disagree with? Anyone who is married is saying amen right now. We don't always agree. We don't always see eye to eye. We don't always maybe even like what each other are doing, but you know what? There needs to be a love. A new commandment I give you, that you love one another as I've loved you. Just because I disagree with Matt, he's not here this morning, I can say anything, right? Just because I disagree with Matt doesn't mean I don't love him. It just means sometimes I'm wrong. I will admit that. He is probably right more than I am. You see, loving, it's not, Jesus in this context is not talking about those outside of faith. He's saying, actually, we should be the ones who give the example of how to love. Yeah. People should come and go, you know, I didn't realize that you could love like that. I didn't realize that, you know, love was like that until I went into, and actually it shouldn't just be our church, it should be every single church. This morning I want to say to you, we need to love one another. If you get nothing else from this, go away with that. It ties in with what John Pett was speaking about the other week when he was talking about making ourselves lovable to one another. I want to make myself lovable to the people in this room. It doesn't always mean that we're going to agree. It doesn't always mean that, you know, I'm going to do everything that you want me to do. It just means actually there is a deep, profound love when we are in the body of Christ together that doesn't move with circumstance, but it stays. You see, Corinthians tells us this, that love doesn't fail, but that it carries on. And I want to bring the challenge to us this morning that actually Jesus here was speaking to the disciples. He wasn't speaking to the crowd, guys. And I don't believe this morning, we're not speaking to the people out in our community. I'm talking to you, who I do life with every week. And you do life with each other every week. We need to get to the point where actually our love for one another begins to change things. You know what? We all come into church with different backgrounds, different ways of life, different strengths, different economic situations, and we come together. I was doing this week, I was out of my comfort zone this week, so I was doing some filming. The less I do of that, the better. That's all I'm going to say, okay? And I was doing some filming on why I love my church. And so I was kind of sitting down, I was doing it for AOG, and they wanted people to kind of send, like, I had to do a one-minute thing. It started off as 3 minutes because I talk way too much, okay? And we had to kind of keep bringing it down. And Liz was kind of going, finish, Joe, finish. You've only got 2 seconds left. And I'm talking about why I love the church. And simply this, I said, I love the church because every generation's involved in it. I love the church because it creates family. And I was talking about us here, and I love the church because it reaches the community. And the first two are really important, that actually every generation is here and we create family, because it's from that that we reach the community. It's not just about programs, although they're really good. It's from how we are with one another that we reach our community. Do you know what? Sometimes loving people that you think are okay to make mistakes is easy. When you look out into the world and you're like, they made mistakes, but they don't know Jesus, that's fine. But sometimes loving those who make mistakes within our community of church is a lot harder. I want to say this morning, do you know what? Let's love each other. Because love is from God. And 1 John, and it's been very sobering for me, 1 John says this, if I don't love, do I even know him? Second thing I want to say, first thing is simply this, that Jesus was speaking to the disciples. Second thing, it's simply this, that we need to love out of relationship. We can't love how God loves us without loving him and without knowing him. And actually, the way that we love one another should come out of the communion and the relationship that we have with the Father. Do you know, so many people in the world don't know love. I've been so blessed in my life. I've had love as an example to me from being born. And so I have never found it difficult to know God as my dad, as my father. I've never found it difficult to love him or be loved by him. But I want to say to us this morning that actually wherever we are on that scale, however life has been for us, God wants us to come into a place where we're in relationship with him. And it's out of that that we love. It's not out of some pretense that I'm going to try and do it because the pastor said I have to. Actually, it's when we fall in love with Jesus. It's when we have an incredible relationship with God that we love one another, that we prefer one another. It's out of relationship that we love. Jesus loved out of what was in him, not from what things were around him. You know, sometimes loving the stranger is easier than those you have done life with for a while. Have you ever noticed that? New people coming to church, well, go and we'll love them. What about the person you've sat next to for the last 5 years, for the last 12 months? Who might now, you might be seeing, it's not all, you know, you get to know someone. And I can remember on our wedding day, on Matt and I's wedding day, I met his family for the first time. Kind of realized why. They're a tad eccentric, and we just always joke about that. Not his immediate family. They're absolutely lovely if they ever listen to this, but some of them, you know, the Reed side of the family, they're really eccentric. And Math went, I did try telling you, but it's not until you know someone. And then we do like camping trips together, and I love every single one of them. I think they're absolutely amazing people, but they're a little eccentric. They're a little out there, okay. And it's not until you really get to know someone that you see that side of them. And it wasn't until we had got married, and there's a reason why Math, I think, saved it for that day. Was you can't get out of it now, Joe. Okay, I am like my family. And the longer that we've been married, the more I have seen that. And we were sat eating a meal yesterday, and we were like, oh, Grandpa's behaving. And Granny looked at me, I said, yeah, it's Daddy's turn today. And you know, there's just all these eccentricities. And Math was like, there's a reason I didn't introduce you to my family until you'd said I do. And the more you get to know someone, the more you see the cracks appear. The more you see the things you might not really like in their personality. The more that you go, seriously? They're like that? And do you know what? That's when God comes and he goes, you know what? A commandment I've got for you, love one another. Warts and all, cracks and all. Let's love one another. Let's be loved by one another. And let's make this a community actually where we show the world that this is how you love. The third thing, it's simply this, that we love because we're told to. Jesus said, a new command I give you. This is red letter words in the Bible. Okay, there's no gray area in this. You know, we can look at some things and think, is there a gray area? Did Jesus really mean this? Did he mean that? Well, this is not a gray area. This is really simple. A new commandment I'm giving you guys, love one another. As I have loved you, so you've got to love each other. And by the way, I've just told you that you're going to deny me, you're going to betray me, you're going to scatter from me, and I've told you I'm going to die for you, okay? So as I have loved you, so you love one another. We love because Jesus commands us to, and if we are Christ followers, we need to love because God tells us to love. And we need to love actually because it should become second nature to us. So often we try and talk like it's a suggestion. It might be good if you try really hard to get on with the person sat next to you. It might be good if you kind of look past a few of their faults and just, you know, and kind of close your eyes to them and just love them anyway. It's not a suggestion here, but it's a command. And over the last few months, since September, what I've wanted to do, and we've not given it a big title as church, but we've spoke on subjects that we think should culturally affect who we are. Things like prayer, things like worship, they should culturally affect who we are as a church. And this is the biggest one. We save the biggest till last because actually it's out of our love that we will serve one another, that we will live for one another, that we will be there for one another. And it should be culturally part of who we are. Are we always going to get stuff right? No. Are we going to not agree with each other sometimes? Yes. Is there going to be times where we don't want to get along with someone else? Absolutely, because we're human. But actually, it boils down to this, a commandment I've given you. Jesus, red letter, God speaking. Love one another. As I have loved you, you need to go and love one another. So I want to get really practical just with three things this morning. How can we do that? How can we love one another? First thing is we should pray for one another. We should pray for one another. And not just when we get an email. It kind of prompts us that, doesn't it, if we read them. But it's not about just getting an email of somebody's asked us to pray for this. It's actually, these people are my family. I pray for my kids all the time. I pray for Math every morning. Why? Because they're my family. And actually, it should be the same here. We should be praying for one another. Our culture should be one that loves out of relationship. But you know what? Sometimes to get that started, we need to go and approach people. We need to go and talk with people. We need to go and get to know people. Do you know what? It's why we do a cafe after church. We don't do it. I mean, I do like coffee. I must admit that. But that's not why we do it. We do it so that we can catch up with one another, so that we can share things with one another. So do you know what I'd love to see in our cafes? Just people praying with one another. People talking from the heart with one another. It's why we do it, so that we can create family. We don't do it because people want to, you know, they have a real drive to come and make everyone coffee. Because that's not true. Plug for the hospitality team. We need people to help us with that. Because there's only a few people that do that. There's a few people that serve, and they do it so brilliantly well. But we'd love more people to be involved in that. Why? Because we just want to hang out together. And we want to be, because that's part of loving each other. I don't kind of spend time with my family on a schedule. I spend time with them until we've all got fed up of each other and we go home. Do you know what Sunday shouldn't be about? What's the schedule? It should be about actually, let's just spend some time with one another. If you always sit in the same place with the same people after church on a Sunday, you're never going to get to know anyone else. Okay? We should be praying for one another, and we find out how to pray for one another when we spend time together and we get to know one another and go, and God just drops something into your heart. And they go, just pray for Laurie today, Joe. And I don't need to know why I need to pray, but actually we spend time together and we talk together and we're in connect group together. And, you know, and especially over the last few months since our connect group has started, you know, and I've just got a whole load of new people that I'm getting to know a little bit more and get to pray for them. And we should be praying for one another. Secondly, we should be helping one another. When you hear of a need, if you can meet it, you don't need to pray about it. Pray for people, but you don't need to pray about how this need is going to be met. If you can meet it, go and meet it. I love the stories in Acts 2 about the early church that says no one was in need because everyone just did what they could do. If you hear that someone needs a lift, give them a lift if you've got a car and you can do it. Don't need to have a prayer meeting about it. Don't need to ask God about it. We just need to go and do it. Because that's what God would do. If you hear of someone that's struggling and you can help, go and help. So we just need to help one another. We need to be there for one another. And the third thing that I put down is that we should celebrate one another. This should be a place of celebration. You know, if things are happening in people's world, I can remember the first people other than the grandparents, right? The first people that I wanted to tell when we found out about both kids being adopted are probably sat in this room right now. They're the people that we wanted to tell, you know, and as soon as we could, we told everybody, because this is our celebration room. When I was thinking through, you know, that whole thing for the joy set before me when we couldn't have kids, my joy was never, you know, having the baby. My joy was the dedication day, stood with my church family, celebrating what God had done. This is my celebration room. And you know, it should be all of our celebration room as well. When we pass milestones in life, when we pass milestones in education, in career, in family, you know, we should have a culture that celebrates that rather than just letting it pass by. It's part of loving one another. We celebrate with one another the good things. And then the fourth thing that I got from these verses was simply this, that what is the result of this love? Jesus tells the disciples that others will know that they are Christ followers by how they love, not by how they preach, not by how they lead, not by how they pray, not by how many times they go to church, not by the programs they are a part of, but by how they love each other. Do you know the world watches in to the church? And the church has had a bit of a bad press in these days, but the church watches into the church and watches how we love one another. And I think we do the gospel a disservice when its words are empty because we're not loving well. And I'm not saying that we're not, by the way. But this morning I want to come to you and say a new command he gives. Love each other. Jesus says this, that now these three remain, faith, hope, and love, but the greatest of these is. John 4:17 says this, that God is love, and when we take up, when we take up permanent residence, right, I'll start that again because we got all of that a little bit jumbled up. In the message, it says this, that God is love. And when we take up permanent residence in a life of love, we live in God and God lives in us. This way, love has the run of the house. It becomes at home and it becomes mature. Do you know what? When we love one another like God has asked us to, we become mature. And in our maturity, we respond and we don't react. Our maturity sees the big picture rather than my own needs. Our maturity brings a confidence into relationships, ease and insecurity. And our maturity brings the security in God first and in others second. This morning, church, a new command he gives us, that we love one another as he has loved us. The thing that's the quote that set off this whole process of me thinking was something I read in September, and it's a guy called D.L. Moody said this, a preacher from years back. He said, if 100 people find Christ, one maybe will find him as they read the Bible. The other 99 will read the Christian. We are told, and statistics show us, that people find Christ more through personal relationship with Christians than any other way. And we have to realize this morning, church, that the world is reading us. It's reading how we speak, how we act, how we relate to each other. They make their decision about Jesus a lot of the time based on that. We have to get this right. We have to get this right. We have to be a place, a room that loves one another. And I've left a few minutes this morning, because I don't think you can talk about this and then just go, right, let's go and have coffee. Although that's important. Relating to one another like that is really important. And I want to really emphasize that. But this morning, I want to just give some time where we can pray with one another. Where we can maybe go and put something right with someone. Maybe you're sitting here going, you don't know what they did. You know what? Maybe I don't. But I do know this, that grace covers a heck of a lot. And let God sort things through with people sometimes. Actually, what God calls us to do is to love them. And so this morning, James is going to play for us. We're not going to sing anything. I want us to stand together. Can we do that? I want to pray for us, and then we're going to do something. God, I thank you this morning for this house, for every person that is here, whether in this room or in the rooms back there with our kids. Lord, I thank you for those, maybe you couldn't be here today for whatever reason. Thank you for this family that you have given us. We are so blessed, God, with what you have given us. And Lord, I pray right now in this moment that Holy Spirit, you will just come. And Lord, I pray in this room that you will break out. And Lord, I pray over every person that, Father God, we will be people who love well. That God will be people who don't get tired of loving. The Bible says, don't get tired of doing good. Don't get weary about it. But Father God, I pray that we will be people who love well, who believe the best of others, who allow others in to love us. Lord, I pray that maybe from this morning, new relationships will be formed, new friendships will be formed. But God, I pray that this will be a room that when our community looks in, the first thing that they realize is that we genuinely love each other. Lord, as a world looks in who don't know how to love, Lord, as a world looks in who maybe have never been shown love, I pray that that will be what they find. That will be what you show them as they look inside our house. As people come in at Christmas and look inside our house, Lord, may one of the first things they realize is that there's love in this place. And God, it's not that kind of romantic love that we're talking about, God. It's a love that does the distance with people. It's the love that rocks up, God. It's a love that helps. It's a love that prays for. It's a love that serves. Father God, it's a love that celebrates. And Lord, I pray in the next few moments that God, you will just do what you need to do in our hearts and in our lives. Lord, mend relationships maybe that have been fractured. Lord, I pray that you will create new relationships as we pray with one another. And that, Father God, your Holy Spirit will just do something in our hearts and lives this morning when it comes to loving you and loving your house. God, may we again realize the love that you have for us and begin to love as you have loved us. In Jesus' name.